All right. So, as always, it's good to begin with a review from last time. For those of you who were here last time, we had kind of a very rushed through history and some of the mechanics of the Liturgy of the Hours. There really isn't a lot there. But in a quick sum, the Liturgy of the Hours is derived from the Jewish psalm liturgies that accompanied the sacrifices offered in the temple and were used in the synagogues as a way to make present for those who could not make it to Jerusalem the temple sacrifice, and so that all Israelites would be able to participate in some way with the liturgical sacrifice, the cultic sacrifices offered to God. Looking through Acts and early church writings, we see that the apostles kept the tradition of praying the psalms alive at the specific hours. In Acts 2:46 through 47, it actually refers to the fact that they attended the temple together and broke bread in their homes. So they celebrated the psalm liturgies and then had the sacrifice of the Eucharist in their homes. And then we also noted that in Acts chapter 3, when Peter heals the lame beggar, it's actually while they're going to the 3 o'clock psalm liturgy in the temple. And so because of this emphasis, this importance to the Jews and the apostles, the church carried on this practice of sanctifying the day through a primarily psalm-based liturgy. And the idea was that in having a regularized every 3 hours setting aside of the time to pray, it extended the Mass throughout the day because it was liturgy, and it was a participation in the church's prayer to the Father through Christ, and it united the church both across all places, synchronically, across the same time, and diachronically, throughout all time. And so we're very privileged when we pray the Liturgy of the Hours. We pray alongside the apostles as they pray, and we pray alongside the saints in heaven as they pray. Which it just struck me how kind of odd that is to say, because the apostles were simultaneously worshiping with them in the past and in the future. But that's part of the beauty of liturgy in the Catholic understanding, is that it transcends time. And liturgy has this property because of the incarnation. God's eternity takes time into itself and gives it a special character, so that when we do liturgy, when we read scripture, there's an anamnesis, there's a making present of the actions that we do that correspond to the past, and also of the stories being told. And so also from last time, we saw that over centuries of development, after Vatican II, we settled into the more ancient practice of having 7 hours, matins, or the office of readings, which would be 3 in the morning, lauds, which were traditionally 6 in the morning, the 3 daytime hours of terce, sext, and none, which were 9, noon, and 3 p.m., vespers, which was the evening prayer. Both lauds and vespers corresponded to the morning and evening sacrifice. Excuse me real quick, I'm going to get my bottle of water. and so Vespers would be normally at 6, and then you had Compline or night prayer, which was at 9 o'clock. And so sometimes you'd see matins jump around in the new thing from either midnight to 3 in the morning. There had been, for a short period of time, another hour called Prime, which was invented by St. Benedict, who founded the Benedictine order, to get lazy monks out of bed in the morning in time for Mass. That was suppressed with a single sentence paragraph in Sacrosanctum Concilium. So, and they offer no explanation on why they do it, but it's also not one of the traditional Jewish hours, which is probably their reasoning. With that, our task for today is really trying to, one, look at the mechanics of praying the Liturgy of the Hours as a Lectio Divina. And to do that, we want to look at two things. First, we want to see the kind of how the Liturgy of the Hours sanctify the day and sanctify us. And then we want to see how we can pray them so that it makes it easier for us to enter into that divine reading, enter into the liturgical aspect of the Liturgy of the Hours. And so first, one of the main things to remember for the way in which the Liturgy of the Hours, thank you, sanctifies the day is through really those two anchor prayers of Lauds and Vespers. In the Apostolic Constitution issued by Paul VI to revise the give us our current revision of the Liturgy of the Hours, we're told that Lauds and Vespers, morning prayer and evening prayer, are hinge prayers, and because they corresponded to the morning and evening sacrifice, they are the prayers that are most designed to truly sanctify the day. The morning prayer consecrates the first parts of the day. That's why it was said at daybreak. And St. Basil the Great says that it looks forward to the light of Christ. And part of the reason he can say that is because this is a liturgical action, we're replaying, we're recapitulating, replaying salvation history. So in the morning, we're consecrating to God that day, but we're also kind of looking forward to the mystery of salvation that will come in Mass. That's why ideally you would pray morning prayer before Mass, although there is an option to pray morning prayer with Mass. And this looking forward to the blessings that God gives us through the Mass is very much characterized in the Gospel Canticle, the Benedictus, which is the song that Zechariah sings once his vocal box is reopened and he's able to speak again after naming John the Baptist. And it's a recognition of how God has saved in the past, but also looking forward to the dawn from on high breaking upon us. And so it's looking forward to the salvation that'll be and the Paschal mystery that's made present at Mass. Evening prayer has kind of the reverse character. It's done in such a way to give thanks for all the blessings that we have received that day. And once again, Basil the Great says, in the setting of sun, we look to the sun who never sets. We look to Christ. As darkness falls, we remind ourselves that he is sovereign of history, sovereign of our lives. And so we dedicate even the night to God, thanking him for what he has given us during the day. And what characterizes this one is also the canticle, it's called the Magnificat, and that's the canticle that Mary sings when visiting Elizabeth. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And that canticle goes through salvation history, thanking God for everything that he has done. He has overthrown the mighty. He has raised up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. It's thanking for God for all the saving action that he has had. And so these hinge prayers really bracket the day. First with consecration and then with thanksgiving. To fill in the gaps, because originally they wanted to have time kept with this every 3 hours. You had the three daytime hours. And these have a similar structure to Lauds and Vespers, but they're shorter. And the reason for that is they're times to pause in the day and reconnect to God, to the liturgy. And this pause is actually so important that the daytime hours actually gave rise to the Angelus prayer that we pray before Mass. Back when books were rare and people mostly illiterate, they would hear the bells ringing in the monastery for the hours. And so the monks gave them the Angelus prayer to reflect on that amazing, that truly fundamental mystery of our faith that is the Annunciation, God becoming flesh. And so they gave that to the laity for practical reasons. But the daytime hours are in order to spread that the liturgy throughout the day and just reconnect ourselves to it, make sure that we're continually breathing the sanctified air of prayer. And another interesting fact about the daytime hours is that they do correspond to the temple hours for the psalm liturgies, but also they're the three times mentioned when you pray them correctly. They're the three times mentioned in the Passion. The terse hour, 9 a.m., is when Christ takes up his cross. At noon, he's crucified, and he dies at 3 p.m. And so that's also being marked by the daytime hours. And so that's just some of the layers there. But as with liturgy, you can find deeper and deeper layers. And so this leaves us with the office of readings, or matins. Traditionally, this was a night hour. It was prayed either at midnight or 3 in the morning. And in the Second Vatican Council, the decision was made to keep it in the character of a night hour, but in order to make it less of a burden for diocesan priests and lay folk, the hour was said that it was made so that it could be said any time throughout the day after Vespers of the day before. And traditionally, because it is a night office, and it would come after Compline, which is the night prayer, the office of readings is designed to be the first hour of the day. And so it has, at the beginning, what's called the invitatory psalm. It's Psalm 95, and instead of the standard opening that you would have for of God come to my assistance, Lord make haste to help me, it's Lord open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Or depending on, it'll be slightly different depending on which version of the book you have. But, sorry. And so what the office of, we had mentioned last time that all the hours are constructive of an opening with a hymn, three psalms, or on the hinge hours you have a canticle thrown in, a song from some other part of Scripture, and then a reading, responsory, and then the hinge hours get intercessions, and then Our Father and closing prayer. The office of readings is a little different in that it gives two longer readings. And the idea there is to really turn the liturgy into meditation. And so the office of readings can be a very powerful tool or place where you can insert a Lectio Divina style of prayer into the liturgy without dominating it with the strict method that would otherwise kind of be foreign to it. It's a little hard to pray psalms if, for those of you who are here, in the four-piece method when you're doing them in group. But so the office of readings, though, is very much meant as a time of meditation in addition to the spreading out of and sanctifying of the day. And then lastly, night prayer. Night prayer truly is the cap of the day. It would be the last, it would be 9 p.m. And the one thing that it picks up from the others is a examination of conscience. And it takes the form of the one we have in Mass. Brethren, let us take a moment to call to mind our sins. But it also kind of has this implication that it wants you to, one, look how you've failed God, but also to see how God has blessed you throughout the day. And so the night prayer is designed to make you look back in a very quiet way, a very subjective, personal way on the day, so that you can thank God and then ask his blessings through as you sleep through the night. And so if we're faithful to a rhythm of the Liturgy of the Hours, not necessarily keeping the strict 6 a.m., 9 a.m., but doing the, we say 5 hours because we lump the daytime hours into one set. If you're faithful to that, it really does give a rhythm to your day based on the liturgy. And so just by, based on prayer. So just by the mere fact that you're praying these psalms regularly, reading these readings, entering into the intercessions, you internalize, you breathe the air of holiness, the air of our relationship with God, and it's a continuous breathing in and breathing out those many blessings that God gives us. And that is what leads the Liturgy of the Hour to connect to Lectio Divina so well, because the Liturgy of the Hours, by its nature, is a mystical entering into Scripture. Now, it primarily sits kind of on this objective level. You do it, you recite it, you read it, you pray it, and it, like Mass, any liturgy, it's very easy to leave it kind of at a high level where it's, you're not particularly conscious of how it is impacting you. But because it's liturgy and it's the Word of God, it is having a positive impact on your life. Lectio Divina, on the other hand, is very much a personal, subjective experience. One of the things they emphasize is, what is the text saying to you and what is Christ saying to you through the text? And so what you want to do is bring those two together. You want that objective reality of praying the Psalms, reciting the Psalms, to become subjective, to become interiorized. And it's a appropriation, self-appropriation of the liturgy. Really, you should be doing that with all the texts of the Mass if you can, but with the Liturgy of the Hours, because of the way it's structured, it's very easy to kind of fall into it as a habit. And so trying to make the Liturgy of the Hours something we appropriate for ourselves, that affects the way we actually go about praying the hours. The first thing to be said is that Lectio Divina is typically broken up into a four-step process. You can't really do that with the Liturgy of the Hours, but there are ways of the rhythmic reading of the psalms and a pacing the psalms and opening yourself before praying the liturgy itself that can assist in bringing Lectio Divina and the Liturgy of the Hours together. Now, one of the biggest ways that we need to pay attention to when we're praying the Liturgy of the Hours in order to absorb it is that when we cut to the Psalms and the Canticles, we have to remember that first and foremost, they're poetry. They have their own rhythm to them, and so they have their own pace, and that kind of dictates a pattern of reading, a pattern of breathing as you go. And so we'll have you also start setting up your breviaries for tonight. Our Psalms will be on page 614. And on page 614, we have first Psalm 27. No. Let you all get there. And this psalm, the Lord is my light and my help, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, before whom shall I shrink? What we have here, this version of the psalms, this translation is called the Grail Psalter, and they're very good at communicating that rhythm that the psalm should have. And each psalm, as you pray it, will kind of give you an idea of where you should put pauses. Yeah, there's a structure here that helps you with pauses. There's punctuation. But as you read through it, you'll find just kind of a natural thought progression, and the psalm will draw you along. They're poetry. They're designed to do that. And so, the Lord is my light and my help. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Before whom shall I shrink? When evildoers draw near to devour my flesh, it is they, my enemies and foes, who stumble and fall. And so in the Liturgy of the Hours, we're letting the text dictate the pace to us. If you're familiar at all with the Gregorian chant, it's the same thing. The text dictates pace. Now, that's not to say that if you came up to the Mount, we would be particularly good about letting the text dictate the pace to us all the time. When you have 175 men at 7 in the morning praying, you can imagine it tends to be more like, the Lord is my light and my help. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Before whom shall I shrink? You know, you're tired. These are things that affect you. But when you're praying on your own, you can very much give the rhythm and let it take you over. You will find a natural pacing. Some will be faster than others. Some will be slower than others. Just because you say it faster does not mean you're being less pious. And just because you say it slow does not mean you're being pious. It's letting the text speak to you as you pray this. And if you're praying it in community and it's going too fast, things will still strike you. It's liturgy. Things will still, it'll still have an impact on you. Or if you're praying it in community and it's going too slow, things will still be able to strike you. So it's being open to the text as well as letting the rhythm breathe to you, letting the psalms kind of dictate the pace to you. And then on the other side of the psalm, you have an antiphon that is a point of meditation that the psalm kind of brings up. Those will change by season. If you get a four volume, you'll find what's called the psalm prayer. And what the psalm prayer was designed to do was between two psalms, is it would be a chance for you to stop and meditate. They're not required, and you'll see in here there is no psalm prayer. But what the idea there is that it is at a with the prayer of the psalm, it begins in silence and it returns to it. So the psalm prayer, which would be said prayed privately if you wanted to pray it, is that chance for it to be silent. And then the liturgy returns. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of praying the psalm prayers. I prefer to recite a Jesus prayer silently to myself between psalms, and that's Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I find that it is a good pacing for me when I'm praying on my own. As we've been looking at the breathing and praying with the psalms, I've been emphasizing the fact these are poetry. Well, we have to also remember that the psalms and canticles, being poetry in the scriptures, in them there's a lot of emotion being expressed. And it's been said that the entirety of human experience is summed up in the psalms. And as we meditate on the psalms, as we let them strike us, it gives us a chance to see human reactions to life. And even because they're divinely inspired, tell us how to react. You know, we have reactions to suffering. It's okay when you're suffering to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Spirit inspired that. Our Lord puts it on his lips. But at the same time, as you have that, you have the confidence of this Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my help. Whom shall I fear? When evildoers draw near to devour my flesh, it is they who fall. So the Psalms react to suffering, but they also give hope. They give reactions to evil and how we should react. And this is true righteous anger. You know, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my arms for battle, my hands for war. Or the very end of Psalm 137, where they're invoking curses on the Babylonians who destroyed the temple and are trying to destroy the worship of the one true God. And so in the Psalms, as we let them strike us, as we pray them, we learn how the past has reacted with human experience. We pray with the human, we learn how to react in the situations. But perhaps the most important thing to remember is when we pray the Psalms that in the liturgy, we are praying them for other people who feel that way, even if we ourselves don't feel that way. I think a perfect example of this is night prayer on Fridays, which is Psalm 88. And it's a lament psalm. And it ends with, friend and neighbor you have taken away, my one companion is darkness. Now, most of us probably haven't felt like that all that often or aren't going to feel like that every Friday. But we have brothers and sisters throughout the world who are in prison because of the faith. And so we're praying it with and for them. And so in the liturgy, in the nature of the Psalms and canticles and scriptures, we react, we learn how to react in the human way, and we also pray with those who are feeling those emotions. And as we're faithful to that, we're wrapped in that. We're wrapped in the lessons that the scripture wants us, that the Spirit wants us to learn through the scriptures. And I've mentioned this very time. We want to breathe the scriptures. We want to breathe the Word of God. And so the Liturgy of the Hours boosts this by forcing us to repeat ourselves. Every 4 weeks we go through the entire Psalter. And so at this point, I have a decent number of the Psalms at the tip of my tongue. And so it forms us if we take the time to pray it. The scripture becomes parts of our lives. And then the one last thing that is important to remember with the Psalms, with the praying of the Liturgy Hours, as liturgy, as lectio, and connecting us with our fellows, is the other page we're going to need here is page 294 and 295. And on page 295, we have the intercessions. This is liturgy. The intercessions direct us, our reading of scripture, direct our understanding of scripture, all those emotions, consciously to praying for our brothers and therefore and brothers and sisters. And so we breathe the scripture, we read the scripture, we internalize the scripture, and then the Liturgy of the Hours has us transform that into charity, which is the perfection of our life, and ultimately we'll be judged on that at the end of our lives. And so I would encourage you to start, if you can, maybe picking up one or two of the hours. Morning prayer and evening prayer are pretty easy. It's like 5 minutes or so if you say it by yourself. It'll probably take us about 10 to 15, depending on how fast the Psalms dictate that you guys read. And it actually doesn't have to be all that expensive. If you want the full four-volume set, it's going to be like $150. But if you have a smartphone or a tablet, you can get iBravery, which is a free app that will format everything for you and tell you how to do everything. And it's a really nice introduction if you're intimidated by the books. These one volumes, I think, run about $20, $25. So they can be a good entrance in. And then if you really just think you're going to pray the evening and morning hours, there's what's called Shorter Christian Prayer, which is a little book that will do that for you also. So it's very easy to get connected with the Liturgy of the Hours, and it really is a beautiful part of our tradition, so I'd encourage you to do so.
I'm going to take questions. There's sort of an app. You said iBravery.
iBravery, yeah.
There's one called My Office. Are you familiar with that?
I believe you have to pay for that one, don't you?
You do. It's $15. I have that, but I'm just curious if you endorse that.
So I say iBravery because it's...
Name, I'm asking another name.
Although I say iBravery because it's free and I'm cheap. But it only allows you to download a week at a time. I believe Divine Office, which you do have to pay for, lets you download more at a time. But it doesn't give you the full thing at any one time, right?
You have to download each one, but you can do whatever you want.
Okay. So that one, if you know you're going to be away for a while, is probably a better way to do it. Also, there is another one called Universalis that it uses a different translation of everything. It's approved. It's acceptable. It's actually how I got into the Liturgy of the Hours, but it will confuse you if you've been praying that one and then you come into a group. So, and that one costs, I think, even more than the Divine Office. So if you want free, do the iBravery. It has everything laid out for you with explanations on why things happen during different liturgical seasons. I would assume Divine Office does something similar.
So,
yeah. I was going to open it up for questions, so this is good. Yeah.
I'd like to make a couple of suggestions. You mentioned about how to pray the office and try to how to make it your own and meditate on it. It is hard to do that while you're praying in common with other people or you're hearing it said. I prayed in common with other brothers before. And I found that you mentioned how you've been praying for so long, some of the psalms are just on the tip of your tongue right now. I found that when I took the time to memorize a psalm, which for me is extremely difficult to memorize scripture, I might have had one or two memorized. I don't want to make it look like I have so many memorized. But when I had it memorized, I really felt that I made it my own. Like the words that were coming from my mouth were my words, and I was able to emotionally connect with what the Holy Spirit has put on the page. Perhaps I take that to heart.
That memorization of Scripture is always a good way to really internalize it. So
sometimes it can be, you know, just a memorization of words, and you're not even really thinking about it or processing it. But maybe perhaps with the Psalms.
Well, not just that. It's because they're the Word of God. They have an indwelling of the Spirit. And so we can't not encounter Scripture without encountering God and having grace work within us. And so that will facilitate incorporation or appropriate self-appropriation of the meanings to yourself. And you did bring up a very good point. It can be very challenging in a group to really meditate on the Psalms. But and that's where it's also important to remember that in liturgy, we're being touched on many different levels, and we're not aware of all of them. And so getting in the rhythms of liturgy will incorporate into us on its own just because of the mystical aspects of liturgy. And it will make it easier to memorize. It will make it easier to have the words come to your tongue when you're not expecting it. It will open you to movements of the Scripture. And so really opening yourself to the liturgy can also assist with and I'm not trying to belittle your comment. That's a great comment. Memorize things. I forced myself to memorize Psalm 95, and that's a great way to open early morning. So,
one more comment. talked about how the scripture, the psalm, will have its own pace. We'll just figure it out, and that slower doesn't mean more pious. Faster doesn't mean more pious.
Less pious.
Right, yeah. Or the opposite. I would encourage the group that when you pray in common, try to also find the rhythm of the group.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It can logistically be a little upsetting or perturbing if there is a slow person who's not praying with the groups.
Yeah.
Usually, you end up going to the pace of the slowest person.
Yeah.
And if you're not consciously, just try to be conscious of the pace of the group.
Actually, a great liturgical hint for anything, whether it's praying the Psalms in the Liturgy of the Hours or just even singing, always do the pace that it was started in. Don't slow down. Don't speed up. Do what it was started in. So, yep.
What is the format of the Office of Reading, and does the format change depending on what time of the day you say it?
The format of Office for Readings, the only thing during time of day that changes is whether you say the invitatory or not. So if you've done morning prayer already before you pray Office, you will not say Psalm 95. And you'll use the God Come to My Assistance opening. The only time that it really gets weird is during Lent and you have a saint, because then it picks up an extra reading. But it isn't too difficult. Yeah.
Apparently, Lord, open my lips and praise your holy name. It's my mind. If it needs to be able to shock me, we're supposed to say that I may pray this office with devotion and reverence. That's part of it.
No, it's just Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. That was dropped from the old office.
Oh, that was in the old office?
I believe so.
Okay. Because it was in my notes when I bought it.
Okay.
But it's not. It's not years, so.
Yeah. If you manage, I still have yet to find the actual ordinary that tells you how to do all the hours in this book, but it tells you all that stuff. Yep.
Yeah, it's funny because I haven't seen Ashley in like forever, and he gave me the shorter Christian prayer like maybe 10 years ago, you know. And for me, the struggle has always been all the ribbons and making sure, you know, and on certain days it's a memorial or it's a this or that, and you're supposed to do this instead of that. Maybe the app is the right way, because certainly early in the morning, I can't deal with that. And then I get angry at myself for having done the wrong one. But, you know, certainly with the pace, too. I mean, there's somebody at the church that Ashley and I went to for a long time. But she no matter what, she was invariably just ahead of the group. Okay, she was kind of a choleric personality, just ahead of the group. And the opportunities to grow in holiness from somebody who's just ahead of the group at every moment of every prayer forever, week after week, are multi-variable.
Yeah.
if that is correct use of that word. And the last comment, you know, there's this community near Tulsa you might have heard of. It was originally Americans who went to France and founded contemplative order.
Are you just the community of St. John?
I don't know what they're called. It doesn't sound French enough, but...
Well, I mean, that's the English translation.
Okay. So some of them came back about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, they founded another sister community near Tulsa, and they pray, they sing the entire Psalter. They sing the Liturgy of the Hours every single day, and they have the traditional, you know, monks...
Yeah.
And then the lay brothers who do all the work, but they've still taken vows.
Yeah. Now, if you go to most religious communities, religious are bound to pray. They make a solemn promise or vow, depending on which type of religious they are, to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. And so oftentimes you'll find Sunday Vespers sung. We do that at the Mount. So actually, I'd encourage you, if you have time some Sunday, Vespers are at 5, and we sing them. So... your time for that is running out this year, but anytime next semester would be great.
You know, I just think about the pacing of singing all 150 psalms every, you know, in chant every week is just, wow,
well, it's
that's a life.
Every 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Yeah, that was changed with the Second Vatican Council. Now, I do appreciate all the questions. It's 9 o'clock. Because of that, probably would be better if. Do you think we should pray it, or go ahead and pray evening prayer, or just make it optional? If you want to leave for evening prayer, that.
We can do evening prayer, and then people need to go, they can go, and then we can go straight.
All right. Does that sound good to everybody? All right. Okay. Because I don't know the proper hymn for today, we'll just recite a Hail Mary. So we'll start on page 614, and then and we'll have this side B, side A, so they'll start the Psalms with me, side B. Remember, whoever finishes the Psalms, the next side says, glory be. And it ends with, will be forever, as opposed to world without end. So glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. It's a weird little quirk, but that's the way it is. All right.
Mary is what page?
It's
actually in 618.
It's also on 544, whichever is easier for you to get to. All right, please stand. O God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord is my light and my help. Whom shall I fear? I say the antiphon, which just happens to be the same as the first line of the psalm. I'm sorry. Okay. So we did the antiphon. The Lord is my light and my help. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Before whom shall I shrink?
When evildoers draw near to devour my flesh, it is they, my enemies and foes, stumble and fall.
Against me. My heart would not fear, though war break out against me. Even then would I trust.
There is one thing I ask of the Lord, for this I long, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to savor the sweetness of the Lord, to behold his temple.
For there he keeps me safe in his tent, in the day of evil. He hides me in the shelter of his tent, on a rock he sets me safe.
And now my head shall be raised above all my foes to surround me, and I shall offer within his tent a sacrifice of full joy.
I will sing and make music for the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And then together, the antiphon. The Lord is my light and my help. Whom shall I fear? I long to look on you, O Lord. Do not turn your face from me. O Lord, hear my voice when I call.
Have mercy and answer me.
Of you my heart has spoken. Seek his face.
It is your face, O Lord, that I seek. Hide not your face. Dismiss not your servant in anger. You have been my help.
Do not abandon or forsake me, O God, my help. Your father and mother has forsaken me. The Lord will receive me.
Instruct me, Lord, in your way, on an even path to lead me, and may lie in ambush to protect me from my enemies' greed, false witnesses rise against me, breathing out fear.
I am sure that I shall see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Hope in him, hope on and take heart. Hope in the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. I long to look on you, O Lord. Do not turn your face from me. He is the firstborn of all creation. In every way the primacy is his. Let us give thanks to the Father for having made you worthy to share the lot of the saints in light.
He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Through him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins.
He is the image of the invisible God,
the firstborn of all creatures. In him everything in heaven and earth was created, things visible and invisible.
All were created through him. All were created for him. He is before all else that is. In him everything continues to be.
It is he who is head of the body of the church. He who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so that God may see many of his sins in everything.
It pleased God to make absolute fullness reside in him, and by the means of him, to reconcile everything in his person, both on earth and in the heavens, making peace with the blood of his cross.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
He is the firstborn of all creation. In every way, the primacy is his. Now we'll turn to page 294. Be kind to one another, compassionate and mutually forgiving, just as God has forgiven you in Christ. Be imitators of God as his dear children. Follow the way of love, even as Christ loved you. He gave himself for us as an offering to God, a gift of pleasing fragrance. To you, O Lord, I make my prayer for mercy.
To you, O Lord, I make my prayer for mercy.
Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you.
I make my prayer for mercy.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
To you, O Lord, I make my prayer for mercy.
Please stand. Why are you bent on killing me when I have told you the truth? My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen. Why are you bent on killing me when I have told you the truth? Our response will be the bold, may your kingdom come, that justice may reign. Blessed be Almighty God, who watches over us as a father. He knows all our needs, but wants us to seek first his kingdom. Let us cry out to him as his people.
May your kingdom come, that justice may reign.
Father of all holiness, you gave us Christ as the shepherd of your souls. Stay with your shepherds and the flock entrusted to them. Do not leave the flock without the loving care of its shepherd. Do not leave your shepherds without an obedient flock to follow them.
May your kingdom come, that justice may reign.
Teach Christians to help the weak and loving care, and in serving them to serve your Son.
May your kingdom come, that justice may reign.
Gather into your church those who do not yet believe, and help them to build it up by good deeds done for love of you.
May your kingdom come, that justice may reign.
Help us to turn to you for forgiveness, and as you forgive us, reconcile us also with your church.
May your kingdom come, that justice may reign.
May the dead pass from this world to eternal life, to be with you forever.
May your kingdom come, that justice may reign.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father of mercy, hear the prayers of your repentant children who call on you in love. Enlighten our minds and sanctify our hearts. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Alexander.